As you guys know from Evaldo's announcements, we're doing a baptism after second service today. So I'm going to be talking about baptism. I got baptized when I was around 17. I think it was August of 1989. So it was a while ago. I am 78 years old. No, I'm just joking. No, but I got baptized in a pool. Dave Guzik baptized me. I remember it being an exciting time in my life. I have pictures in my office here with it, but you'll never be able to tell it's me because I have such long, light blonde hair. I mean, it's like white, so it's really long. So if you look at the pictures, you're going to go, who's that girl getting baptized, you know? But it was me, you know. But I really wanted to teach you guys about baptism today. I know a lot of you go, oh, that's something I know already. But I would ask that you just kind of allow some of the preconceived ideas you have on baptism just to set those things aside for a moment this morning as we delve into the Word and some understanding. So let's pray, okay? Father, we thank you so much for our time in your Word. We pray that you would be honored and blessed as we go through this subject in your Word. We pray that it would be accessible to all of us through the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, that, Lord, you would be our truth teacher this morning, and that this would be an honor to you, Father, that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I put together a slideshow for you, so it's a little different today. And that you're going to see some slides that come up, and you're going to see exactly what I'm going to be teaching on, so it's something where you can go to the references as well and write these down. So I really wanted to make this teaching very accessible because I've asked some students and some young students to be a part of the Sunday adult service for the first and second service because I knew they were going to be being baptized or immersed today. And with young people in here, I want to make things very simple and accessible to them as well. I taught on baptism on Tuesday at our men's group, and that was a much more intense teaching and very in-depth. And we're not going to quite go that underground this morning. So if you come in here a little foggy-headed, you're a little tired, hopefully this one's accessible to you and not too deep for you guys. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is that the Hebrew word for ceremonial immersions, and that's what baptism is. It is a ceremony of immersing, okay? Immersing into water. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about another kind of baptism too. But the Hebrew word, if you can just say it right now, teliva. Can you guys, tevila? Can you guys say that? Tevila. Yeah, can you guys say that again? Tevila. There, okay, good. Now, the reason why we're going to do a little Hebrew today, and I'm not going to have you do much or anything, but the reason why we're doing this is because it's important that we all realize that Christianity rides on the back of Judaism. Some people don't know that. And growing up, I certainly didn't. I wasn't raised in the church or from North Hollywood. What do you know, right? Nothing. Nothing of the Bible, certainly nothing of church, that's for sure. But as I started studying the Bible, I studied from the book of Genesis on. I didn't read the New Testament. I didn't read the book of John first. I didn't read the New Testament first. I started at Genesis 1, verse 1. And when I started reading, it wasn't that long before I kind of understood that the Bible is talking, kind of narrows its subject down to a certain people group on the planet. And that people group wasn't French Canadians or English people that I was used to. It was actually a group of people called the Hebrews. And so many people that are in Christianity never realize that. I remember I was at a Jewish Passover Seder once. And this is a celebration of the Passover, meaning the deliverance of the Jews from Egypt. And this is actually what we're going to celebrate today in what we call communion. It is the Passover Seder. We're just doing a very small version of it. And when I was at the Seder, I remember a priest happened to be there. And I was talking to the Catholic priest, and I was telling him about the Jewish roots of Christianity. And he looked at me, and he said, Jews can be Christians? And I said, yeah. And he goes, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he was shocked. He looked at me puzzled. And I said, yeah, the whole book of Acts, the whole church is Jewish. You know, Jesus was a Jew. And the priest was puzzled by that. And it made me think, even early on, like, wow, I wonder if that's just something we assume in the Christian church, that everybody knows of the Hebrew background, that what we're doing as Christians is we just believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of Judaism. That's what we believe as Christians. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. And so it's important for us to understand the roots of things that we do in Christianity. If we don't, we kind of fly into our own little cultures. And so it's great for us to get back to its beginning. How did Jesus view ceremonial immersions? How did he view baptism? That's a good question that you should want to ask and want to have answered. Not so much how my church does or what someone else thinks about it or those type of things, but you should ask the question of how did Jesus view it? What was it like in first century, you know, Judaism? How did they practice it? How did they practice it in their life? So tevilah is a basic biblical concept. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read this to you just because I find it kind of humoring to read this section. Has anybody here read the book of Hebrews? Can I see a show of hands? How many people have read it? Okay, so probably half of the church at least has read it. It's funny because I find this funny because in chapter 6, verse 1, I'm going to read this to you, and then I'll tell you what I think. It's so humorous. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. What I find humorous about these couple passages is it says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of the Word of God, meaning this is like the basics. This is like elementary. Did you get that? Meaning to the writer of Hebrews, he says this is like 101, like Judaism simplicity. But when you study the book of Hebrews, is anything simple about it? No, you read the book of Hebrews and you're like, that's pretty heavy stuff, right? And so sometimes, you know, what we might think is really heavy, you know, to maybe someone who is Jewish, they might see it quite simple because it's been in their heritage for so long. It's been in their education for so long, and it hasn't been in ours, you know. Well, one of the things that is listed in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, or chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, if you saw it there, it says the doctrine of baptisms. That is what is considered in Hebrew tevilah, ceremonial immersions. The doctrine of baptism. Baptism is taken from the Greek. Okay, tevilah is the Hebrew. Just remember that the New Testament's written in what? Greek. The Old Testament is written in what? Hebrew. That's right. Okay? So, with that being said, I'm going to give you just a quick definition of ceremonial immersion. Ceremony, which symbolizes the change of a status of a particular item or person, the setting apart for a particular purpose from clean to unclean, common to uncommon, profound to holy. This is important. This is what ceremonial immersions was. It was this ceremony which symbolizes the change of a status of something. Changing the status of something. You take a fork, just a normal fork, nothing special in this thing at all, right? But you take it through a ceremony of immersion, and this is to the Jewish mind, you take it into the waters of immersion, you fully immerse it. If it's not fully immersed, by the way, then to the Jewish person, it wasn't considered as going through a change. It was only going through a change if every part of it was covered. So have you ever wondered, like, hey, what about sprinkling? What about, you know, can you sprinkle someone in baptism? Have you ever thought about that? Or do you need to be dunked or things like that? Well, I'm trying to help you understand that to the Jewish mind, it had to be fully immersed. And remember, it was a ceremony which symbolizes a change of status. So when it came up out of the water, is it the same fork? Same fork. Nothing magical happened with it. But to the Jewish mind, when it went through the water, it symbolizes a change of status of it. It went from being common, a normal fork, to now a word that you guys all know, holy. It became separated. Holy means separated for the use of God. It became a holy fork. Is the fork the same? Yes. The ceremony was a symbol of something. It was the symbol of something being separated for the use of God. Something, it went in common, it comes out uncommon. It went in profane, it comes out holy. That's what the waters symbolize, that type of thing. And the coolest thing is if you read the Torah, the Old Testament, especially if you go through the book of Leviticus, they're washing everything. It's like washing central. Everything is washed. The priest is going to go into the holy place. What does he do? He goes in the water all the way. Comes out, then he goes in to hang out with God. After he does, after he's done, you know what he does? He washes again. He goes back in the water, and he comes back out normal. See, the water just symbolized a status. That's all it did. It was just like, hey, I'm going to do something awesome with God. So I need to, like, prepare. I need to go in. What do? To the Jewish mind, mikvah. That's what they called it. The reservoir of hope. Can you guys say mikvah? Mikvah. That's right. The water, the reservoir of hope. Jeremiah 17, I think it is, says God is our mikvah. He is our hope. And so whenever they wanted to do a change of status, if you were hanging out in your house and you went, you know what, I have guests coming over. I'm going to take out the nice china. You know, you take out the nice china and the nice fork, right? You go, man, I want this stuff to be set apart for something good. What do the Jewish people do? Mikvah. They put it into the water. Came out, it went in just normal. It comes out separated for something special. When Jesus goes to the wedding in Cana, right? What do they have outside? What do they have there? They have giant pots for washing. Why? Because mikvah, the reservoir of hope. You're going to go to a wedding. What do? You got to prepare. How do you show the sign of preparedness, change of status to the Jew? You go through what? Mikvah. You wash, and you come out. Is anything different with anybody that goes through mikvah? Did the water do anything? No. It's to the Jewish mind, it's just a symbol. It's just a change of status. A ceremony which symbolizes the change of status. This is important for you to understand. Because many of us, like I say, we have different ideas on baptism that really aren't quite scripturally. They're not quite rooted in the roots of Judaism. The thought is of newness, putting the past behind, and of new beginnings. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's read that because it's a very familiar passage. We can read it. Some of us can just, we have it memorized. It's such a very popular passage. But most people don't see it in light of immersions, ceremonial immersion. This is where I hope your mind just goes, bing, and you go, ah, I get it. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things become what? New. Paul is speaking of immersion. Paul is a Jew. He is a rabbi. You can't separate him from Judaism. You can't pull him out into the Anglo-Saxon culture or any other culture you'd like to. He's a Jewish man. Isn't that great? All things become new. What is he talking about? He's talking about the inner, some inner change of status that has taken place. What? How does the Jew understand that? Immersion. Some immersion has taken place into the Christian. Something happens to the believer in Jesus, where he is now immersed and he has a change of status. So let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 8. Very famous passage of scripture too. Mark's gospel starts with the baptism of Jesus. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, the scene is set, right, where John comes baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We get that in verse 4. When we get down to verse 8, it says, I indeed baptize you with water, John the Baptist says, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, right? How many baptisms we got going on? Two baptisms going on, right? There's one which is a baptism of water, and the other one is a baptism with the Holy Spirit. So that's an important distinction to make. It's an important idea and understanding that John's baptism was a baptism of water, a one of repentance. It was a preparatory baptism for the Jew. Basically, John's in the wilderness. John is a Jewish man. He's a Hebrew. And what do Hebrews do when they want to get ready for something? Something huge, man. Something's going on in my life. I got to get ready. And John's saying, hey, guess what? The Messiah, the Mashiach. Cool word. Can you guys say that one? Yeah, that's a good one, huh? That's a good morning word. Mashiach. Right? The Mashiach is coming, right? The Messiah is coming. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And you know what you do? Jewish people do? Hey, we mikvah. That's what we do. You know, so what are we going to do? We're going to get in the water. Because what does the water do? It signifies a change of status. It signifies that I am now going from this state of being not ready to this state of being very prepared for the Messiah. So that was his immersion. But the immersion of Jesus is a different immersion. It's one, check this out, it's a spiritual immersion. It's something that you can't see, but it's something that happens within a person. So there's two immersions that are talking about. Now, I want you to see that when the word baptism is being used, it is used not just of water in the Bible. See, many people read when it says, go out into all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they immediately think water baptism. And you just can't do that. That is putting something into the text. You have to evaluate, are we talking about spiritual baptism? Are we talking about water baptism? If we're talking about water baptism, you have to be able to look at those scriptures and find out, what is it referring to? I'm going to help you go through that. But let's go to Matthew chapter 20, and let's start looking through some of them. So Matthew chapter 20 and verse 22, it's really a cool scene, right? The mother of James and John come to Jesus, And they say to him, grant that my two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Quite a bold request, by the way, from mom, huh? To say to Jesus, hey, can my sons be like your right hand people? You know, it's definitely a mom question. Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? So he says, are you able? Now, he's not saying, hey, are you able to drink my water for me? He's not saying, you know, this is all allegorical, right? He's not saying, hey, are you going to drink the cup? Like, hey, I have a cup of coffee here. Can you drink this cup? He's not saying that. He's saying, hey, I'm going to go through something. Are you willing to go through what I'm going to go through? And he's just using cup as a symbol of what he's going to go through. Are you willing to drink the cup? That is a very Old Testament idea, by the way, drinking the cup. And it says, and that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Are you willing to be immersed in what I'm going to go through too as well? He's not talking about water baptism here. He's not saying, hey, I'm going to go through a water baptism. You guys think you can handle that? He's not saying that. He's saying, I'm going to go through the cross. I'm going to go through suffering. Are you prepared to go through that kind of immersion into the suffering that I'm going to go through? So, and they say to him, of course, they said, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed go through it. So he's not talking about water there. We see he's talking about the life of suffering. Now, there's the baptism that is spiritual. It's important that we realize that this kind of a baptism or immersion, the spiritual one, actually affects of change. Remember what the water was, right? The water, ceremonial immersion, the water was a ceremony that symbolized the effectual change. Did you get that? The water is a ceremony that symbolizes the effectual change. Now I want you to see passages in the Bible that show what the effectual change is. So if you go to the book of Romans chapter 6, we can read verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many as us as were immersed, instead of baptized, I'm using the word immersed, into Jesus Christ, were immersed into his death? Whoa, radical. Therefore, we were buried with him through immersion into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So what Paul says is that when you put your trust in Jesus, there was actually an effect that took place. Something happened. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were immersed. You literally were immersed into Jesus' death. That's a radical thought. You were placed into the death of Christ so that you can be identified with Christ in his death, so that you could also be identified with Christ in his victory over death, which is called the resurrection. So that is spiritual immersion. It affects you. It affects your status with God. So when Bo places his faith in Jesus Christ, the Father sees me immersed in his Son. So instead of seeing me, he sees his Son, if you will. I'm identified in Christ. I am placed. I am plucked out of the world, and I'm immersed. I'm kind of put right in. I'm put right in Jesus, his identity. Isn't that crazy? So to the Father now, my status has changed. I went into my faith. Before I had faith, I was profane. When I trusted in Christ, I went through a spiritual immersion where now I come out, my status is different. I come out holy. You are a holy nation. the book of 1 Peter says. Right? You are separated by God, to God, for God, by faith. So as you trusted in Jesus, you were immersed in Christ. Isn't that cool? Do I see it? Nope. It's something that I trust happened. Why? Because the Bible's telling me this is what happened when I put my trust in Jesus. This is how God sees it. You have been immersed in Christ. 1 Peter is a great passage. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says there is also an antitype, or it means like a pattern, an antitype or a pattern which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, meaning not the water, not the removal of filth from your flesh, right? It's not going through the water that saves you. That, it says, but what? But the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I don't know how much more plain Peter could say it, but it's not the removal of filth from the flesh, meaning the water didn't do anything. The water to the Jewish mind is just a ceremony that's symbolizing the change of status of something. The cleansing that you receive from physical water is just cleaning your physical body. That's all it is. What really matters is this other baptism, right? John says, I baptize you with water, but someone greater is coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's something we have to pay attention to. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14, I can read that to you, and then we can answer that question that I have there for us, which is, does water baptism or the blood of Christ wash away sin? And I know we're all going to answer this right, but I want to make sure that we understand the scripture that we use to answer it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So what cleansed you from a guilty conscience and all your dead works? Trying to do the right religious thing. What cleansed you from all that you cannot attain to any level of godliness through your works? What cleansed you from your burdened conscience? Was it water that did it? Was it physical water? Was it taking a shower that cleansed your conscience? Or was it, what does it say? No, it was the what? The blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit. You know, so it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. That is the baptism that has an effect. Water? No, not effect. No, no effect. That's just water. Is the fork the same if it goes in and out? The fork is the same, right? All it's doing is symbolizing the change of status of the item. That's all the water's doing, right? But what the real effectual change is the spiritual work that takes place in your life through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as we trust in God, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Father sees us now immersed into his Son. Really radical, right? So these two passages that I have at the bottom, baptism into the body or family or community of Jesus, will help you see this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 6. It says this, There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we've been immersed into one Lord, one faith. We've been immersed into one hope and one body, and it's all and one baptism, one immersion. We've been immersed, all immersed, not into the same water. Some of you have been immersed in other places, I'm sure. You know, I was immersed in a pool that had chlorine in it, so my eyes got dried out, all that. I immersed my mom in the ocean, in the Pacific Ocean. That's where I did my mom's baptism, where I held her down for a few minutes. No, I'm just joking. Hi, Mama. No. But I baptized my wife in the Sabino Canyon. Yeah, years ago, did my wife's baptism up there. And that was fun, you know? So we all didn't get baptized in one body of water, so to speak, but we all have been immersed. Our status has changed by faith. We have all been immersed in Christ. That is the one baptism. That's what we all have together. We are all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. No different, none at all. We are all the same. You think you come into this house of God and you think you, oh gosh, I have my life's a mess. No, all of us is a mess. We all go through struggles. We all go through doubts. We all go through difficulties, trials, temptations, all that stuff. So the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we can read that passage as well. 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, people into heavy metal music or people into new wave music. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit, right? I always joke with people, me and my wife, because we couldn't be we're so the opposite. It's unreal, right? And the way I always put it to people is, you know, she grew up, she's into Prince, you know, Prince, that's her stuff, that's her music, you know, Prince, and I'm Iron Maiden, you know, and that's just the difference of us, you know, just so opposites, you know, in so many ways. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or if you're Greek, or it doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, we're all immersed, not into the same water. We're immersed into Jesus. That is the effectual baptism. And that's what you have to keep remembering in our culture today, that there's an immersion that's effectual, and it's not the water. The effectual immersion is the one you hope you have because it is the only effectual one. And that is the one that's in faith in the work of Christ for you. So when we look at the next slide, I have a little picture of this piece of cloth being baptized or immersed into a pan of dye. And this will help you, I hope, understand a passage of Scripture in a different light again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many as you as were immersed into Christ have put on Christ. See, the idea is clothing, right? Putting on clothes, putting on Christ. And it says that you have put on Christ, for there is neither Jew nor Greek. Again, there's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all immersed in Jesus Christ. That passage is talking about effectual baptism. It's talking about the spiritual baptism that we've gone through as the body of Christ, believers in Yeshua. That's what it's referring to. And when it goes into the dye, it comes out a different garment, don't it? And that's how the effectual immersion is. Meaning, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's something that happens to you in your life. There is an effectual change that takes place in your life. Just as the garment can't return, you cannot take a dyed piece of cloth and then return it to its original state. So you can't take the person who is immersed in Christ and put them back to their original profane state. They are now changed. Something radical has taken place. You might not see it, but God sees it. And that's the only one you should really be concerned about, by the way, is how God sees you. Because when you understand how God sees you, that changes your life. When you understand you're accepted, beloved, cared for by God, and you have that positive affirmation daily that you're saved by grace through faith, after a night of biffing it, a day of biffing it, being horrible at work, being able to go to God and say, God, you know what? You love me. And I need change. I need change in my life. But I know you are for me. I trust. That's the way you're going to make it through. You're not going to make it through if you go, hey, God, you hate me. Yeah, if the sovereign of all the earth and the universe hates you, guess what? Hate to tell you this, but you have no hope. Okay? Just want to let you know that. See, if he's all-powerful and you're saying to yourself daily, the all-powerful God, check out what you're saying, the all-powerful God is not for me. He's not for me at all. Doesn't love me. Nope. Doesn't like me at all. He's totally disappointed with me. Totally against me. If you're saying that to yourself daily, what you're saying is that there's no remedy. Because if you're saying the sovereign, the great, all-powerful God can't do nothing for you, then guess what? Who can? That's a bummer place to be. But you can pull yourself out just by getting back to the Word. And just remember what these passages teach. Now, the big question, right? Baptism. Do you need to be saved to be baptized? Think through it. Do you need to be baptized to be saved? I'm going to answer this different than most. I'm going to say yes. You need to be baptized to be saved, but not in water. The only effectual immersion is the immersion of the Holy Spirit. That is the effectual immersion. You, at the moment of salvation, are immersed into the body of Jesus Christ. The water is a symbol of the change of status of a particular item. That's what it is. And that's all it is. So you have to put yourself into the Jewish mind once again to answer this question properly and rightly. Do you need to be baptized to be saved? Sure, you need to be immersed in the right person. If I'm immersed in Ozzy Osbourne, Ozzy Osbourne doesn't have much power to save Bo. I thought he did when I was in sixth grade. But man, as I've gotten older and seen him on TV, I'm like, nope. It ain't working. Right? But Jesus has the power to save me from death. And he proves it by his resurrection. He has the power to do that. So to be immersed in that power is important to us. Every human being, because death is eternal to everybody, doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. When you die, it's eternal. It's done. Every human being should be concerned with their eternity because you ain't coming back from it, from death. So when Jesus goes into the waters of baptism with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, man, I should be baptizing you. And Jesus says, no, John, do this. Baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. You know, we look at that and we go, whoa, that's radical, you know. What Jesus is doing is he's doing what Jews do. And this is where we lose it. Meaning we have a lack of understanding. Jesus goes into the water. Why? Because he's going through a change. What change is he going through? He puts down, what was Jesus' occupation? Carpenter, right? He's been working on building stuff his whole life. He's a builder. But then, the moment comes where it's time to go through a change of occupation. It's time to be about the business of my father. And it's time, and what do the Jews do when they want to show that it's time to do something different? And it's time, mikvah, that's what we do. So what does Jesus do? He goes into the water, and he puts down his toolbox. He goes into the water. He comes out of the water. It's not like all of a sudden he's God now, right? But it's a symbol that changes, that's symbolizing a particular change or status of a person. Jesus, from the moment of his baptism, ceases to be the carpenter, and now he's on his way to the cross. Never to pick up the hammer again. Why does Jesus be baptized? Because that's what Jews do. That's what Jews do. When they want to show that it's time, when they're going to draw the line in the sand and say, hey, guess what? It's time. It's time for me to make a change in my life. I'm sick and tired of doing this. I need to make a change in my life. What do? Mikvah. How many times do we do mikvah? As many times as we need to. So do the Jews do baptism all the time? All the time. Every day? Every day. They immersed everything. Everything went through waters of washing was all a part of their ceremonies. Everything was showing change. Everything needs a status change. So radical, right? And so the only effective baptism is the spiritual baptism. Baptism looks to the future, leaving behind the baggage, burdens, and sins of the past and walking in newness of life. That's what immersion is about. A ceremony symbolizing a new birth, the new birth, spiritual immersion that we have in Jesus through faith. The water is a type of line in the sand for us. When we go into the water, we are putting the past behind, never to go back to it. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Let me read this, and I hope now you see it in a new light. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Is that cool? That passage is alluding to the idea of baptism. I am moving forward in life. And that's what baptism is. It is the symbol that's saying, hey, guess what? I'm going a different direction. And for me, I remember it was such a serious thing to go even into the water of baptism that for me, I like did this fast for 3 days. You know, I was young, 17. And I just go, man, I'm going to fast hardcore. You know, had that radical idea. And I remember fasting, and on the third day, I'm like, man, I don't know if I can make it, you know, and you're struggling, and you know, I was with my professor at the Cal State Northridge, and he had a piece of apple pie, and I remember I'm just like, oh, man, and I caved in, and I had the pie, you know, but the reason why I tell you about the fasting part is just because how important it was in my heart what I was doing. It's not that the water did anything. I knew that. But it just was, it's just that symbol of something that went on in my mind, in my heart. And it was serious. I didn't want to just go through it just to go through it because, you know, God, I grew up with, you know, my wife who was baptized as a child. And I would say, hey, do you remember your baptism? She's like, I don't remember it at all. You know, well, I didn't want that. That sounded weird to me. Like, you should make decisions about the ceremony. Everybody we see in the Bible that got baptized, they were older people. They were people that made decisions, volitional choices. And so it was on my heart to make that choice too. And it might be on your guys' heart this morning. And you might think, well, hey, I'm already saved. But again, remember, ceremonial immersion is not just about salvation. To the Jew, ceremonial immersion is about everything. Isn't that cool? So you might be here and you might go, man, I just need it like a newness. I'm dry as a bone. God, I need you to do a change in my life. If we were Jewish, we would say, mikvah. Let's go into mikvah. Let's do it. Because that's what it is. It's this reservoir of hope. Mikvah means hope. And we're going to go in, and what we're doing is we're understanding we need something spiritual from God. And so you guys pray about it. Hopefully now when you think of passages in the Bible, go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Does it mean that Jesus is saying, hey, you got it, the water's the real important thing? Is that what Jesus is getting at? No, but what he's a Jewish man. So what did Jesus say? Go and make things new. Go into the world and make things new. How do Jews make things new? How do they show it? They show it through mikvah, through baptism. Hopefully your guys' minds now are starting to go, oh, I'm seeing things a little different than maybe, you know, some of my church culture. Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord for that, for his mikvah of us into his Holy Spirit. And also, we get to partake of the Passover today too. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's very much a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You say, blessed are those who take hold of your word, Lord. I thank you so much for your goodness. And we pray that we would understand what baptism is better, that you would help us in our understanding of your word. We realize that your wisdom is far above ours, and we walk humbly before you, Lord. We pray that you would help us in every area of our life. Father, we pray that as we take communion, that we would remember the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember the blood that was shed for us. We would take with joy in our hearts, Lord. Help us to have a joyful heart when we enter into practices like communion or baptism. Father, we pray that for the heavy hearts that are here in this room, we ask that you would lift their heavy hearts, that you would change their mourning to laughter, Father, and you would give them great comfort to know that you are the God who cares, you are the God who sees, you are the God who reaches out. You say you store up all of our tears in a bottle. Lord, you care for your people. So we lay our burdens down right now. And we want to now just focus on the wonderful joy of the Lord as you purchased our salvation through the blood. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.